This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week are Colin Stevens.
Hey, gamers.
Hello there. Sam Claiborne is here.
Hey, everybody. Good to see you guys in the studio together. That's cool.
I don't have a lot of wiggle room to stay in frame here. And Justin Davis is joining us as well. We've got a great show for you this week. We had a Nintendo Direct yesterday that I think everyone's pretty happy with. Lots of exciting games to talk about there, including updates on Legend of Zelda, shadow drop of a beloved Metroid game. We're going to get to all that in just a second. But first, I don't want to belabor the point. We've spent a lot of time in the past few episodes talking about this, but I beat Dead Space now, so I'm in that crew. And just like Sam was saying last week, I loved it. I thought it was great. Top to bottom. I thought it's just super well done. It's just like a very cool thing to do from a company that isn't really known for just doing cool things just for the heck of it. I thought all the changes that they made were good. I don't think any of the changes were like a mistake. Everything is an improvement to the game. Sam, I don't even know if you remember the end of the original Dead Space, but like they made it much less frustrating moving the marker around, getting it back onto Aegis 7.
What was more, I mean, I didn't consider this frustrating, but it's a lot of extra game. It's not bad. No. It's just like, it gives you reasons to fight monsters, which I really like doing, but it is kind of silly. What was it before?
You had to use Kinesis to move it yourself.
Okay. So they added conveyor belts and bridges.
Yep, now they just put it on a track and you just have to hit switches to move it around.
Wow, that's so funny that it was originally Kinesis. I don't remember that.
Yeah. And then this isn't a fault of the remake, but I just think the final boss is just so outdated. It's like such a product of its time, like the PlayStation 2 and PS3, Xbox 360 era. It's just like, it's just a giant monster that has some glowing orange things that you have to shoot. That's it. That's all you have to do. You're in an arena that you can't leave. There's tons of ammo drops just being dropped all around you.
I have a funny story about that final boss. It's not a spoiler because this could apply to any boss on Earth. But at one point, the boss picked...
It's not on Earth. Fight.
Yeah, that's true. The boss picks you up, and I think this is the end of it. It is the end of it. And it's like you're supposed to do like basically a quick time event, but it's basically you have like infinite... This happens a couple times in Dead Space. You have like infinite ammo to shoot an enemy cinematically. It's kind of like a QTE where you shoot. But the weapon that I had equipped required... I just don't even know why I had this weapon equipped or why this happened, but it required me to charge to do any damage at all. And so instead, the weapon was just shooting these little blips, and I didn't know what was really going on. So the enemy like held me for like 5 minutes. We just hung out. Yeah. Finally, I was like, I just held the button for a little bit longer and it killed it instantly. I was like, oh.
Yeah, you can actually, you can switch weapons while you're being held.
That's funny. Great. You can just hit pause, do your inventory swapping, just be like, well, you know, while this Rancor hand is gripped around me, I'll just hang out.
That's a really funny mental image. Like, why aren't you eating me?
Yeah. Yeah,
I should be eaten.
He's just dangling you and roaring at you. Yeah. Did you ever notice, Sam, that you have a bunch of different weapons, and when you switch weapons, they're not like on your person. You just sort of like wave your hand and the previous weapon goes away and you have the new weapon.
Oh yeah, where were they?
Where were they?
Well, for everything else in the game, it's like really explained. It's like your health packs are right here. They're on your back. Yeah. And like, it's just like your inventory is like, nah, you can carry whatever you want.
He just like waves his hand and then he's got his new weapon. It's very, very funny.
Is that because it hides it when it collapses the menu maybe?
You don't have to pull up the menu to switch weapons though.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. What a sleight of hand. I love it. Yeah.
Anyway, it's great. They even made some cool like story changes, and the characters have like more meaningful deaths, I think I can say that, in cool ways. So it's great. Dead Space, the best game I've played all year long. Say that.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's not true for me anymore.
Because now you're playing Metroid. Mm-hmm. That's what, you know, without, I've finished Dead Space, I need something new to play. I'll probably fire up Metroid Prime Remastered tonight, which is a nice, very nice surprise from the Nintendo Direct. And Sam, you're playing through it again. You are a known Metroid Prime appreciator.
Absolutely. I would classify it as my favorite game of all time occasionally, between Mario 3 and Breath of the Wild, right? So I'm reviewing this, which is fun. It deserves a re-review after all this time, and because it's just a lovely set of changes. But I can't put it down. I've played through it many times before. And can you remind me of what my phrasing was about the graphics before the show, Damon?
That it looks amazing.
I used a specific word to describe
so
it.
So effing no. good?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Well, it's like
I swore, but I'm not going to this time.
Okay, thank you.
It looks incredible. So one thing that I did not know, after Nintendo's Direct, yes. Scott Pfizer's is that, you know, they went through and redid a bunch of textures and stuff. We expect that, but they redid polygon models and environmental effects and all this other stuff. When you go, they're not in this clip that we're watching. I don't know why they didn't just show the Chozo ruins, because all this looks great or whatever. But man, every room is like lit by the enemies, or like has like ambient lighting, and your morph ball lights up stuff. And like, it just looks so cool in these corridors. And this game is so well composed, like with things connecting back to each other and everything. But what's really cool is like all those individual rooms, especially in that Chozo Ruins area, they're all like detailed differently, and they all have like different walls and like shapes, and it's just like nothing else. Like there should be, like I said this about Dead Space, like I thought there'd be like 2 decades of Dead Space knockoffs and Resident Evil 4 knockoffs after those games came out.
Yeah.
There are. Like, This is like a better campaign than any first person shooter I could imagine. Like, it's so good. And it's like Halo gets to this level too. Like, I really like Halo campaigns, but like this is that type of game. If you've never played Metroid Prime and you like really like Halo 3, like this is that type of game. It's that caliber of like single player game. Mm. It's so fun.
They went so above and beyond. I don't know how this YouTube channel did it, but they already had a comparison, like a full on comparison to the Wii version and the original GameCube version. And like the physics, like when you shoot your beam into the water, like there's new ripples. Physics effects.
Yeah.
And you know, you're right that we have come to expect new textures, you know, HD textures, but like redoing polygonal models to have more polygons in them than they had in the GameCube is like really above and beyond. Like they went way harder than I think they had to, or people expected them to. They being, you know, this was done with by Retro Studios primarily, with help from you know, some other studios. And so it's just like I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I am, and in such a pleasant way. It's great.
I think my theory is that they sort of wanted to do this project to sort of catch the newer people who work at Retro up to speed, you know, like get their feet wet before they like really went hard into Metroid Prime 4 with like the technology and how it should be designed and all of that stuff. And so I'm glad that it was Retro who did this, because if you look at this game, if I hadn't recognized all of this stuff from the original Metroid Prime, I would have thought that this was Metroid Prime 4. Like, this game looks amazing. It looks better than most Switch games. And so I think that, like, they might have used it as, like, a little bit of a testing bed to get people ready for the new development. Because most people who work at Retro at this point didn't work on... Probably most of the people didn't work on any of the Metroid games because it's been so long since Metroid Prime 3, you know? So
Maybe we can queue up. We did capture the first 15 minutes, and then we also did another clip of, like, something else of, like, the Chozo Ruins I'm talking about. But, like, one thing that they really changed and added was controls, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, they nailed it. It just feels like any great first-person shooter game. And then you can also switch to Wii controls, motion controls, if you want, which are really good in the Wii version. I'll let you know how they are in the Switch version. And you can switch back to the GameCube controls, which is stop and shoot for people that don't remember. You kind of stopped, locked on and shoot. But you have a big advantage with new control, with, like, contemporary shooter controls, because you can constantly move and shoot. And it makes you feel really powerful. But there's, like, innovations in this game that, like, it was in this game... It was a big deal that you could jump and it felt fine. Like, nobody had done a first-person shooter where it's like, this is fine. Like, this, like, totally works. And I remember doing it the first couple times and be like, where are my feet? What's going on? And then now it feels so natural. And that's just a testament to, like, this game's influence, but it's really cool to do that. And I'll just say, as you play this, you will see things that they put in these games that are so clever that you would have never thought of. And when you replay it, you're like, this is so smart. And one of those little examples, well, the map is one of them. It's incredible. But another little example is if you're in a room with a power-up, that power-ups, and I think different power-ups, have a distinct hum, and it's actually proximity-based. So, like, you'll be like, and I didn't know this probably till, like, the second time I played the game, and, like, I used to 100% this game and all this stuff. But you're in a room, and you're like, wow, wow. And if you'll be right next to it, you'll be like, I don't know how to get to this thing because it's not always obvious that it's not always like bomb this because it looks like a hole in the wall. You know, like, they don't do that in this game. There's more complexity than that. And so, like, I think that's really brilliant because it means you can 100% the game by sound, which is so smart.
Yeah.
They did. All that attention to detail is paying off. I think, you know, if you've been listening to GameScoop, you know, one of the things that I run is, you know, our commerce department, our shopping content, and, like, Metroid Prime Remaster, the physical edition, which my assumption is that most people are buying this game digitally because it's out now, but there is a physical edition that's coming out in a couple of weeks, and it is overwhelmingly the best-selling video game from, like, daily deals from, like, our shopping content of this year so far.
Wow.
It's actually... Go ahead.
I jumped on that link from IGN. I pre-ordered it because I'm playing, like, 7 games right now, so I'll get to it when I get to it, but I want it physical when I play it, so.
And there's not a solid history of Nintendo keeping these in print, because Trilogy is really valuable and went out of print right away. And then after that weird Mario remakes incident, it's like, what's, you know, like, snatch it up if you want it.
It's interesting because,
and by the way, compared to those Mario remakes, this game is just something else. If they learned something from the Mario 3D collection, like, boy, this is the way to do it. And now I just want this for those games.
Yeah,
yeah.
When I first played Metroid Prime in whatever 2003. I want to say when it was released.
Right?
I thought it was the best looking video game.
2002 is when it was released.
2002. I thought it was the best looking video game I'd ever seen, but I have not played it since then. So it's cool that, you know, I'll get to sort of re-experience it with the way it looks in my mind already.
It's interesting because, like, so many people talk about how, like, the controls in the original are, like, kind of clunky nowadays, but, like, I played it on the Trilogy on the Wii, so I have no idea how it, like, originally controlled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the GameCube, right? The GameCube game?
Yep.
Yeah, but I played the Wii version.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a very, very cool, nice surprise from the Nintendo Direct. We also got a new look at The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. And we got a confirmation on the price, which is another aspect that people are talking about. But first, I don't know. I remain, like, you know, I love Breath of the Wild. I'm excited for Tears of the Kingdom. I feel pretty confident it's going to be great. But I still don't know what the game is, how different the map is from Breath of the Wild, and I don't know, like, how much I'm going to just get to, like, explore a new place. So that's why my hype level is a little bit muted. That's just me.
I was hoping the next time we saw this was going to be like a huge blowout, like they did at E3 2016. Because like, there's so much about these games that like you can't just go over in like a 2-3 minute trailer. Yeah. And it's a cool trailer. I like it. It's got a strong vibes to it, and you can definitely see a lot of new things, which is awesome. But like, I don't really know exactly. Like, you still don't know if there's dungeons in this game or not. You still don't know, like, you know, how you start. It seems a lot more story focused, which is cool, because I guess one of the few things I wasn't a massive fan of Breath of the Wild was that it just didn't have much story. And this starts like kind of full blown, like, you know, you assume it's dehydrated Ganon talking, but with like kind of a bad voiceover, at least from the clip we got.
I mean,
I liked it.
I thought
What did you say, Damon?
You're like, I said, well, I'm
Japanese.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna be playing with the Japanese voice language track again.
But like, oh, you guys didn't like it?
No, not at all. No.
Oh, I thought it was like such a strong sort of. I thought it was like very intense and like match. Like the game just seems very dark and very Majora's Mask, like weird and dark and bleak in like a good way. And I thought the voiceover matched that personally. I don't know. I guess
because there's a really famous trailer for Breath of the Wild. I think they released it like January before it came out, and I think it's the greatest trailer ever made for anything. And it's one
it's
like where, like,
5 minutes long.
Yeah, and like the main theme kicks in like 2/3 of the way through it, and it's incredible. But the voiceovers in that are also kind of bad because they just sort of took them from the game, and like they just felt kind of out of context, and it felt like different music was placed behind it. But I think they worked really well in the game, so I'm sure that the voice acting will be good once we're actually playing it. The thing that excited me the most was the Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts vehicle that you're making.
Yeah,
because like people like made this rap while they were like playing the original Breath of the Wild. They just sort of like, you know, strung it together with like carts from the mine and using Magnesis, and then they could just fly throughout the map. And so my impression is that like the developers saw all that and they were like, let's just make it part of the game, you know?
I don't know. Sam, Justin, how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I agree with Colin, or I agree with you, Damon, that the game could use, like, it needs like a 30-minute direct on like, you know, here's your new weapons and bomb types and you have this new power, and like, no, don't spoil the story for me, but like, we're just getting these weird oblique hints and references, like we don't really know.
2 months out.
What's
and the
game's like 3 months away, and so, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know if we are still to get that. Like, is that coming sometime in April, or is Nintendo's thing just like, no, we're not going to bother? Like, this where they're going to sell, you know, 25 million units of this thing, whether they do that or not. Like, I don't really have a sense of that. I do. Although I don't actually like Majora's Mask that much, is the irony. But I really like that direction of it's clearly darker. It's clearly going for something, you know, more intense and kind of like dark fantasy and mature. And I think that's exciting and interesting. So, you know, I'm on board. But you know, it's tough. Like, it's tough to say more. We don't really know too much about it still.
Yeah.
And it looks really good. You know, there was all of that. I mean, I think it looks better than the first game, because everyone has, a lot of people have very great memories of the first one, and especially it was like sort of colored by like, oh, I can play this on the go, that's insane, this is the best looking portable game I've ever seen. But then, you know, you play it 6 years on and you see that, like, you know, the textures are pretty rough in that game, and the frame rate dips a lot. And just from this, you know, small, obviously very manicured trailer, like, it seemed to run really well. It seems like the textures were pretty good. It looked a lot like the first one, but just, you know, maybe zhuzhed up a little bit.
Sam, the
Switch is old.
Yeah,
it's a big cartridge too, so there's a lot of stuff in there that's very unusual for Nintendo.
I think that's an interesting fact. The biggest file size of any Nintendo game ever, and it's not even that big. 18 gigs.
Yeah, but they fit the first one into like 5 or 6 or something.
It was like 12, but still.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's very low though, but that's because they compress and stuff. Yeah, in terms of the graphic stuff, like, I think what they need to do is be so clever with covering up draw distance, because they're using things in the sky and things like really far away. And, you know, if they make that beautiful and covered up in the right way with, you know, weather effects, I think that'll work really well. But there's a risk in it being like, you know, kind of pop-in-y, which I can't tell from this. Like, it does look like they're obscuring a bunch of stuff, because like, and that could look really good. This game, like, it doesn't look like, okay, let me put it this way. What we could be seeing in this video could be from the first 10 hours of the game. And then it could go completely haywire and we could never see something familiar again. I have no idea. And I don't think they're going to show us. And remember how they said like Tears of the Kingdom was a spoiler? So like they didn't want to tell us the name. Like they're not showing us that stuff either. So like I want to have the confidence in this game to be like, well, they're showing us stuff that like is neat and funny and stuff, but they're really hiding the game. And they're hiding the game for a reason. And like that's really interesting to me. Now, if they're hiding the game because they think it looks too samey, that would be a problem. But I want to think that they're hiding it because there's just something really special going on here. And what we're seeing is the familiar, and the unfamiliar is what we haven't seen yet. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. We have to kind of like, I've not been down on it. I hope I haven't come across that way. I'm very, very excited about it, but it's sort of like reorienting myself around the fact that like Breath of the Wild is one of the greatest video games ever made of all time. And like the team got to do another one and like build on that. And they've been working on it for like 5 years. You know, it's like, oh, okay. Like once you sort of remember that context, you know, then I think that allows my like hype level to build back up again.
Yeah.
Did you see that we're doing a bunch of breakdowns of this footage and our staff has noticed some really cool stuff. But one interesting take is that one of those shots is underground, which I thought was neat.
Yeah.
And that would be a natural thing to do. You know, Zelda's going way back. I've had Dark World or pasts and alternate versions and stuff. And it would be interesting to have an above world and a below world. Mm-hmm. Maybe not beautiful though, because an underground is going to be a lot of caverns and stuff, but who knows? I mean, that type of stuff is interesting. I'm wondering though, if there is a complete world transformation, either as a story beat or as something you can go between. That would just be like, it's just such a Zelda thing. And like, in terms of doubling a game, like that would just be really cool to have something.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I hope it's. I hope
there's a lot of story stuff. I forget who mentioned that. I think Colin did. Mm-hmm. But like, there's just a lot, and I still can't tell when this is taking place or like why Zelda and Link have to do anything, even though they're showing us so many story beats. I think that's funny.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope it turns out great.
Yeah.
It's still a little bit of a mystery, an unknown quantity for me. We also got a release date for what is probably my most anticipated game, I think, right now, which is Dead Cells: Return to Castlevania. Mm-hmm. That one's coming out March 6th.
I thought you were going to say Advance Wars.
Yeah,
wow.
That's what I was thinking.
That was quite a twist.
Oh, no, yeah. This definitely more anticipated for this one than Advance Wars. But
the music is so good.
Yeah, it is.
I just can't. It's just like such a cool combination of like the developers of Dead Cells just getting to use the IP that inspired them and do a much better job with it seems like, than Konami has done in probably decades. It just seems so awesome. So cool.
Now, and I asked this of this group before, but we don't know if it's standalone, right?
It's not standalone.
It's DLC. Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't mean it in terms of purchasing. I mean it in the terms of like, can I just play this game? Can I start this game from the start?
I think I read an interview with Motion Twin, the developer, and they are figuring out, they want to make it easy for newcomers to get to this content if this content is what's bringing them to Dead Cells. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think there'll be some hand-holding to like allow you to just see this new stuff, the Castlevania stuff, if that's what you're here for.
Mm. Looks great. I love the animations. Love it. I love all that.
That is March 6th. But speaking of Advance Wars, we know that's out now April 21st. Mm-hmm. Wasn't a shadow drop like a lot of people thought it might be. But it's great to have it finally have a release date again. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't its previous release date last April?
This sounds about right.
I think so.
I can't remember when the war in Ukraine started.
It was last spring.
It was around
sometime.
Then.
February.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that was the reason it was originally delayed. And I think Nintendo was kind of just waiting for that to sort of hopefully end, and clearly it hasn't. So I think finally they're just like, okay, well, let's just release it when we don't have a game coming out. But, you know, still looks really good. I'm glad they didn't shadow drop it, because I still haven't finished Fire Emblem
Engage. I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
Which I am, the more I play that game, the more I love that game. Because it's got such deep systems, and I went and played it last night because they dropped some DLC for it, and it's just, there's so much going on, there's so many like little things you can tweak for individual characters with the ring system and just grow them differently, and it's just so much fun. And it's probably in my top 10 Switch games. I think a lot of people are down on it because of its differences from Three Houses, and I think that's fair. But I prefer it to Three Houses, and I'm just really enjoying it.
Yeah, I need to get back.
I'm 10 hours in now. Mm-hmm. I love it. Cool. I want to keep playing it, but I have to do Prime for a little while, and I'll go back to it for sure. I have no question. I love it. I'm super, you know, attached to it already, and it's been drawing me in. I have no idea what that DLC meant in any way, and I've played this game every night for a week.
So basically, I bought the DLC pack sort of sight unseen, which was maybe stupid of me, but initially, it only let you do like one extra side mission that would get you Tiki, who's a character that will transform you into a dragon.
Yeah, the dragon. Useful. Yeah, I like Tiki,
And then it also gave you the bracelet that would give you the emblems for the Three Houses characters, which is really cool because it like will randomly switch them for you depending on which turn you decide to like engage with them.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. And so that was really cool. And then this one adds, like, I think three or four other bracelet emblems, and they're all very strong. And I've only done the first two for the DLC that just came out because I had to go to bed. But
these are really post-game things. That's what a Xenologue is, right?
They call them paralogues. So they let you just sort of like jump to the side and do them whenever. And there's a bunch of like little like nodes on the map that were like empty that you couldn't do anything with right away, but now that the second wave is in, a bunch of them opened up and you can now like travel to them, and they're really,
is it fun
really
to do that after you beat the game?
I don't know, I'm pretty far through the game. I think I only like have 5 or 6 chapters left.
Oh, so this DLC is hitting perfectly for you. You're like so it's helpful.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people complained that they, you know, were releasing DLC right away, which I understand because it's like, oh, the content's already done. Why didn't you include it with the game? And I get that, but I think there's a lot of content in the game, and I actually don't play DLC very often because I don't really want to go back to games a lot, you know, unless it's like something that's really meaty and like story based. I rarely actually go back for DLC, but this is nice because like I haven't actually finished the game, so I'm going to use all of these emblems like in the end game. So I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I definitely want to get back to that one. Go ahead, Sam.
I'm resentful that the Advance Wars section of this Game Scoop got taken over by Fire Emblem.
just like on this earth.
Yeah, just like real life. I'm not actually resentful, but I am happy to see that the game didn't get, you know, permanently shelved, the game being Advance Wars Reboot Camp. And that trailer that they showed, That's all new. Like all that animated footage, that like, you know, kind of luscious and anime style, like intro. That's really cool. And as someone that like, you know, really has an affinity for those games and those characters, you know, seeing Nell and just all of them back was like in kind of like this HD, really well animated form was interesting. I'm sure it was deliberate because they didn't want to show a trailer with like combat or fighting or war in it. But even so, it was cool.
Oh. Yeah, I hope
Spectre from Advance Wars.
I hope that if the reboot does well enough, I really do hope that it means that they'll bring it back in some way, shape, or form. Because I actually never played Advance Wars, and I really want to. And now I'll get the chance. But it always seemed like just a sort of slightly different kind of strategy game from Intelligence Systems, right? Is the developer of the original. I wanted to try that like slightly different kind of strategy.
Well, you might get a chance to play the original at some point in the not too distant future on your Nintendo Switch. Now that Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games are available with Nintendo Switch Online.
Master of transition.
Only if you pay more for GBA though.
Yeah, but I already am because my son is just obsessed with Mario Kart now, so I had to. I had to go to the expansion pass.
We technically got how many shadow drops last night if we're going to include all of the Game Boy Boy Advance games?
No, it's dozens of games.
Well, so it's interesting. So first of all, I think this is very cool. Very cool to have Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games on the Switch. The game list for each one is a little bit small right now. I'm sure they'll add to it in the future. But I think it's funny. Both the game list for the Game Boy and GBA consists of a lot of games that make a lot of sense, and each one has one just completely random game thrown in there.
Yep.
They're like, what? Where did this come from? So on the Game Boy, you've got all first-party games and then a Capcom classic that you're all great. Tetris, Super Mario Land 2, Link's Awakening DX, Game & Watch Gallery 3, Metroid 2, Return of Samus, Wario Land 3, Kirby's Dream Land, and then the Capcom game Gargoyle's Quest, which is great. Mm. And then, what? Alone in the Dark, The New Nightmare.
What the heck?
The Game Boy Color game, which IGN's Craig Harris gave a 4. Mm. And anyone who's been around long enough, Craig Harris was just tossing out 10s left and right for the Game Boy Color back then. So for that game to get a 4, why is it in this first? Why is it here? It's so completely random.
When the Game Boy Advance, it is really random. Like random one, has like that stick that like rotates around and you have to like move it around.
Oh, that game's dope.
Okay, yes. I'll let you talk about
so
it.
So the Game Boy Advance game list is Super Mario Advance 4, which is Mario Brothers 3, WarioWare, the original, Mario Kart Super Circuit, Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, Zelda the Minish Cap, and then this other game, Kuru 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 In, which is a puzzle game from Aiding, I believe. And as Justin said, I think it's good. But also just seems random to just throw that in there too.
But I don't know. Did that get, because I imported that game and I'm not sure it came out in English.
Maybe
it
did.
That's why it's called that.
Well, its name certainly isn't.
Maybe it did.
Again, also
random. I don't know if it did, but if so, like what a deep cut, like what an opportunity to play a game that maybe not enough people
play. And the idea is you're not supposed to let the stick hit the objects, right?
Yeah, the stick is spinning around all the time, and then you have to try to move it through the stage.
It's just Operation Advance.
It's really, really addictive, and you know, it's, I don't know, I don't have enough good things to say about it, actually. Like, I meant to before the show, it's right in the closet behind me, I meant to grab it and have it, and I forgot.
Justin, are you aware of the pedigree of the developers behind Kuru Kuru Kurui?
No.
So, Aiding, which they folded Rising into Aiding in the early 2000s, and Rising made Battle Gurega and what? Armed Police Batrider. It's like, it's,
well, there
that
you go.
Team made this crazy puzzle game. Anyway.
That's awesome. I think those libraries are great. I'm really struck, well, two things. One, they got Tetris. Like, who do they have to pay to get the original Game Boy Tetris? Like, who has the rights to that? How did that come together?
EA just generally has the rights to Tetris now, right? Yeah.
I mean, I think so, right? There is a Tetris holding company. Like, I don't really, you know, I don't know. Like, Tetris, you know, it's weird because the EA is not the developer of the Game Boy one.
The audience heard that one. That was great.
Tetris like hold'em.
Great joke.
Thank you.
We got to talk about Super Mario Brothers 3.
Okay.
Yeah, dude, it's so cool. It's got the levels. It's got the e-reader levels.
That is unbelievable. I have never played those. I am so desirous of playing those. It's my favorite game of all time. And there's 40 other levels.
I actually
nobody's
did
played
play
them.
The e-reader levels when I was a kid. I don't know why my parents bought me an e-reader, but they did.
But even if you played some, it's hard to get them all.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I was actually really confused.
Look at that level. That looks
Mario
like some
game.
Mario Maker crap. What is that?
I was really confused about which Mario game was which because, like, I kind of played a lot of them first on the Game Boy Advance. And so it's like the numbering is all over the place. I one of them is Yoshi's Island, and I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, Super Mario Advance is Yoshi's Island.
Yeah, and so it's just like, oh, this is the first Mario game, but clearly it's not. And it was just like just very confusing to me as a kid.
And the other thing that strikes me about these games is that they added online and local multiplayer to almost all of them where it made sense. So Tetris on the Game Boy has online multiplayer. And to me, that's so above and beyond and so kind of un-Nintendo-like of like, you know,
that
they didn't just take
a wire.
I'm blown away that like this is not like let's slap an emulator on our console and then let's upload some game ROMs and then here you go. Like they had like someone like an engineer had to code multiplayer, online multiplayer into a game that didn't have it and was never supposed to have it. And I don't understand how that's possible or how it makes sense for Nintendo to be like spending their time and effort and energy in doing that. Like I'm really blown away by that.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to correct myself here. I knew I was wrong as soon as I said it. Super Mario Advance is Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yep.
Which is Doki Doki Panic.
Yes.
Super Mario World is Super Mario Advance 2.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yoshi's Island is Super Mario Advance 3. And Super Mario Advance 4 is Super Mario Brothers. And I'm sitting those in a weird order because they actually switched the titling, which one is placed first, the Advance or the name of the game. So the fourth one in the series, Super Mario Advance 4, : Super Mario Brothers 3. I love it.
I think the funniest moment of the direct to me was just when they were talking about Tetris for like 10 seconds and they start describing what Tetris is. It was just like, blocks fall from the sky. Blocks.
We know. You don't need to do that.
It's like my grandma knew what Tetris was.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a scoop, Jim. Tetris Holding LLC owns the Tetris rights worldwide. The exclusive licensee is called the Tetris Company, which is owned by Alexey Pajitnov and Blue Planet
and
Software. Yeah, Hank Rogers.
Yeah, that guy.
/ Blue Planet Software. Mm. So.
There you go.
That's why they can...
Does EA just license it out for like the mobile versions?
Yeah. Or there's Tetris Effect also. Is that not EA?
The way that all works is still like how it worked in the 80s because Nintendo had the license for handheld systems and their consoles, and then Atari had the license for arcades, and Sega had the license for arcades in Japan only. Sega made Tetris in Japan for arcades. I've never even played that game. It's just an arcade game that you can get.
Everybody really loves it too. It's got such a great rep. I've never played it.
I think that means I can go now?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. And we're back. We had a little bit of technical difficulty on Justin's side. His laptop was about to run out of battery, so we've had to remove his video, but Justin is still here in spirit.
I'm still here.
Is the spirit?
Ooh,
the spirit of Justin. You're still with us.
The funny thing is that face, if you're watching the video, I'm making that exact face right now.
I felt that. I could sense that you were making that face. All right, we've been talking about the Nintendo Direct from this week, which had a bunch of really cool-looking games in it that we can't wait to play. But there's a type of game for the Nintendo Switch that never seems to appear in these Nintendo Directs, even though it's a game that there is an abundance of on the Nintendo Switch. So that brings us to the Nintendo Seal of Quantity and this week's new games.
None of these made the Direct?
Hold on.
None of these actually made the Direct?
If we're done talking about the Direct, I want to say very, very quickly, Pikmin 4 looks great. You get a very cute dog. And they announced a new Professor Layton.
Yes.
He's back.
Yep.
Oh, that's right.
I also wanted to mention Ghost Trick HD. We're just running low on time.
No. It's all good. I won't derail any further. I'm so pumped for Professor Layton, New Fantasy Life. Like, there's a lot of good, really deep cuts in the Direct that, like, you know, I'm sorry that I lost so much time to my computer issue, but...
Etrian Odyssey and Bait and Kados collections.
I know.
Oh, so good.
I know. All these. It was a really good direct. Okay, viewers and listeners, the Nintendo Seal of Quality is your assurance that no one at Nintendo is watching what is being published on the eShop. Anyone can just publish whatever. It's just, no matter how half-assed it is, how janky it is, you can publish it on the Nintendo
eShop. Or full-assed, as they say.
Yeah, full-assed, yeah. Got some good news this week. Our first one this week, available now on our Nintendo Switch, is Beat Them Up Box Simulator Boxing Battle Fight Combat for Nintendo Switch Ultimate 2023.
Classic SEO play.
Not boxing. It's box. Not boxing. Box.
The actual visuals don't look that bad.
It's funny that they put Nintendo Switch in the name of the game. I guess, again, for like the search
Nintendo
thing. But who's searching Nintendo Switch on the Nintendo Switch?
Okay, so this isn't about boxing, because one guy just has a straight-up gun.
Well,
so this is like, is box fighting something?
So, Sam, the description reads...
His name is Box.
The description reads...
Mr. Box.
Beat Them Up is a 2D game on levels, where the main type of fight is boxing.
Okay.
And then it says, this is the description that's on the website for the game. These games typically involve simple controls and gameplay. Beat Them Ups often feature large numbers of enemies that appear on screen at once. These games often feature boss battles against larger, more powerful enemies, and may also stages that the player must complete.
What?
Okay, that's a Wikipedia entry on Beat Them Ups.
That's right. Yes.
Also, did it actually say Beat Them Ups in there?
Beat Them Ups.
Wow, I've never heard of the full legal name.
Yeah,
they glammed
it
up a bit.
Yep. Yeah. And it says, the amazing classical hard fighter and action game. And finally,
do you think they just came out of that bar that's called Triple X every day?
Yeah, Triple X every day. And finally, experience street fighting in a relaxing action game.
Huh. Relax.
So I'm glad it's relaxing. Yeah, relaxing. I mean, I need that at the end of the day.
Hey, look, games like always, this often include boss fights and multiple enemies on screen. Does this one?
Yep.
I don't know.
Okay. Moving on. So that one was Beat Them Up Box Simulator Boxing Battle Fight Combat for Nintendo Switch Ultimate 2023, but it's not the only box game we've got this week. The next one is Box Roulette Simulator Boxing Battle Fight Combat for Nintendo Switch. Another game that they put.
This is a tough choice.
And so it says, if you're looking for most exciting game and you're ready to risk, Box Roulette is the exactly for your...
You know, I think roulette traditionally is just elephant, like secret elephant, Christmas giving, you know?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, that's box roulette.
That's
wow,
accurate.
This looks like such shit. I put my roulette chip on brown.
Yeah, so we're going to read this again, and I want to point out that this copy is on Nintendo.com. Nintendo is allowing this copy to exist on its official website. It says, if you looking for most exciting game and you're ready to risk, Box Roulette is the exactly for your.
Mm. Exactly for your what?
It says we're giving you the chance to play. We're giving you the chance to play one of the most extreme games in human history. This is
so what's going on here is that it's Russian roulette.
Yeah.
With I think you just get punched.
Yep.
Or something.
Yes.
The most
There's
extreme
a box on the table.
Games.
Irish roulette.
So it's like Manhunt and Manhunt 2 and Thrill Kill and then Box Roulette Simulator, most extreme in human history.
The description says, here is how it works. As this game is really exciting and the consequences of it are unpredictable, we place a box in the middle of a spinning roulette and you can't know if that box will open exactly on your turn and if it will punch you with the whole strength.
Whole strength.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
That's Box Roulette Simulator, Boxing Battle Fight Combat for Nintendo Switch. The next one is Kart Crazy Race Simulator game.
Huh.
It's a kart racer.
What is it?
It certainly is. Like the world's dravest kart racer.
The description reads, fast and dynamic kart races. If you are craving it and looking for it, Kart Crazy Race Simulator will not make you bored.
Textureless quality of the map reminds me a lot of like or traditional cruising, but like back when like having no textures was completely acceptable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This game would have been $50 in 1998 and would have gotten like a 7 out of 10 in EGM.
Yep.
Well, and yeah, that's true. And the litmus test that EGM used at the time for all games was, will this make you bored?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not make you bored. Okay, I think I've saved my favorite one for last this week. Our final game this week is Shark Attack, Fish Predator, Ocean Sea Adventure Survival. And you play as a shark. So this is your poor man's man-eater. Your poor man-eater is basically what this one is. It reads, who is the king of the underwater world? What animal is as old as the world? Many people don't even know what it looks like. Of course it's a shark. So,
wow.
A couple things to unpack.
So many mysteries that are going to be answered by this game.
A couple.
But they were answered this
game. Everyone knows what a shark looks like.
Yeah. Yes, sharks have been around for a very long time. Not as old as the world, though.
No, not quite.
The world was here a very long time before sharks showed up. And also, who doesn't know what a shark looks like?
There's many photos of them. You could just type shark into any electronic device.
Or you
we're looking
type
at
sharp.
Photos of them right now in the game.
Very photorealistic graphics. It says, with
I hope that hammerhead shark watches out for that sea mine. Sea mine. charge.
And why is there a sea mine here in the sunken ruins? It's like it's like Atlantis or something.
Gotta nuke something.
With our game Shark Attack Fish Predator, you can feel like a shark. Freedom of action. Gnaw, break, scare. No one will defeat you. Sam, I think...
Gnaw.
Yeah. I think you can add a new question to your 20 questions repertoire, Sam. Can you gnaw, break, or scare in this game?
Can you gnaw, break, or scare? Yes. Did you see that there's 2 meters, and I wonder what one is?
I didn't see
one's probably life, but the other one just, it has like a little lightning bolt.
Yeah, maybe it's like a frenzy. Yeah, shark frenzy.
Well, there was that story this week about a bunch of cocaine getting lost in the ocean.
I saw that story.
That's actually a cocaine meter, I believe.
Cocaine shark.
Yeah, it's good.
There's also, looks to be some sort of shark collectible token system. And then on the right, you can see there's what appears to be a water meter, which is like you can't run out of water.
Why is there a water
don't run out of water
unless you can unless you're able to exit the water and go on land.
It's just always full.
Well, I've never seen a shark before, but I would like to see one out.
Here's what happened. The developer bought an asset package for included a HUD for like an underwater adventure game, but it was intended for like a human where you had to manage your air. And so it's just there for the shark
game. That's plausible.
Finally, it says...
I have a new 20 questions question, too. It's, Damon, is this game as old as the world?
Does your character know what a shark looks like? finally, it says, a variety of terrain with many interesting locations will not leave you indifferent.
Oh.
There you go.
Will not leave you indifferent.
Nope.
Now, that's the rubric that OXM used to use. Yep. Does this game leave you indifferent?
I want to point out that hate is also not indifferent. So, you know, maybe that means you'll hate it.
That's one of the meters.
Yeah.
Indifference is the worst.
There you have it. Another exciting episode of the Nintendo Seal of Quantity.
I just have one more question. Sorry, Damon. Was that eight-legged creature that kind of has a bulbous head a shark?
I think it's so. I think they're counting it as a shark. Because there's a lot of people that don't know what it looks like, including some of the developers. My promise to you, dear listeners and viewers, the week that Nintendo does not dump a bunch of crap on the eShop store is the week I won't do that segment.
Is this third or fourth?
Why does the directors be like, hey, be cool this week, y'all. Be cool. I know we let you put games on here whenever you want, but can you just hold off this week while everybody's in the eShop?
Yeah. Well, see, they want to capitalize on that. They need to start figure out how to put Metroid in their title. Okay, and that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Chris in, I'm going to butcher this, Solihull, England. I don't know how it's pronounced. Solihull, S-O-L-I-H-U-L-L. How would you pronounce that if you were from England?
I was thinking about doing a British accent, but I've decided not to.
I almost tricked him.
It's probably a lot shorter than the syllables let onto it, so it's probably just like soul.
Yeah, there's probably like an R in there that's not in there. It's like surreal, and then like the locals all say it that way. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
In any case, let the questioning begin.
Can you maim, bite, or... I forgot what the three were already.
Nah,
that's right.
What was it? Nah, break, or scare?
I don't think that's that bad. We can ask that.
No, we should.
Do you nah, break, or scare?
Do you really want to? can you nah, break, or scare in this game?
Yes.
Interesting.
I don't think it's not.
It could be. It's most likely breaking. Could be scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be scary. You can't scare in Bubble Bobble.
You can break.
You certainly can. Bubbles are hella broken in that game. Did this game come out before the year 2000?
No.
Okay.
That's no fun.
Did this come out in the year 2010 or later?
No.
Okay.
Can Colin see the name of this game on your laptop next to him?
I don't know, can he?
I mean, I would assume that would be possible if I were to get a different angle.
Was this game developed in Japan?
Ooh.
Ooh, Damon's just showing us the whole thing.
Was this game developed
He's
in Japan?
He's just shopping.
Was this game developed?
I was just playing Factorio.
Developed in Japan? No.
Okay. Should we ask if it was the United States, or do you think that's a waste?
I want to narrow down platform.
Not yet.
Okay. Was this a platform exclusive?
No. That's 5.
Should we go for era?
We know it's a 2010s game.
Well, 2000s game, right?
What did you ask? Didn't you ask if it came out? What was the question you asked, Colin? Didn't you ask?
I asked 2010 or later. So it's between the year 2000 and 2009.
Oh, right, okay, my bad. That's what I meant.
So I guess it could be the PS2 generation or the 360 generation, right?
That's the same generation.
No.
PS2 is Xbox.
Oh, yeah.
360
is
the next one.
My bad.
Yeah, sorry.
So is this from the 360 generation of games?
You're asking me that?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
So,
are you asking me the thing you just asked me?
We asked you a question about gnawing. To me,
it sounded like you were telling me it was. That's what I heard. Anyway.
Okay, so it was probably like a multi-platform, like 360, PS3 type game, most likely, yeah?
Did this game appear on the Nintendo Wii?
No.
Is this game based on a license?
No.
Was this game published by a frequent E3? I forget how we frame this question. Does the publisher of this game have an E3 conference frequently? Or have they ever had an E3 conference, I guess?
Yes.
That makes it really hard.
Okay.
That's fine.
Like, that includes, like, Konami and...
Yeah, except the game's not Japanese.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Interesting.
The answer is yes?
Yeah, the answer is yes.
Do you think it's an EA game? Or...
Yeah, or Ubisoft.
Yeah, Ubisoft.
Could be.
Does this developer still have E3 press conferences?
You're asking if the developer has E3 press conferences?
Anybody?
No, the publisher.
Who's in the yes pile? Like, I don't know. Did EA have one at the last E3? I can't even remember.
No, Ubi did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember if EA did. No, I don't think so. That's no good. Let's think. Is this part of a series?
Yes, that's 10.
Okay. Should we try to nail down if it's Ubisoft or not, or do we think that's going to be a waste?
I think that's fine.
Is this a French publisher?
No.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's probably...
We could always do, is this a Ubisoft, EA, or THQ game?
Well, we know it's not Ubisoft.
That's fair. We can just do that with 3 different things now at this point.
It's probably EA, right? There were those weird THQ conferences for a few years there.
Yeah.
Do you remember when they came out with that drawing thing?
Yeah, could be weird. Microsoft and be Minecraft.
Yeah. You definitely break in that game.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And you're not.
Okay, so...
I don't think you scare, though. You get scared.
The creepers, yeah, they can scare you.
Spooky noises.
Okay, so should we try to get a...
We just don't really know anything about this game still.
Yeah.
Does this game have multiplayer of note?
No.
Is this game in the first person perspective?
No.
Okay.
We're really doing poorly, guys. It's like, yeah, we don't have that many questions.
Yeah, it's just hard when it's not.
Yeah, and it's hard when every answer is no. It's like, what do we know about this game? It was not made in France or Japan. it was on the
single player only
PS3 and 360, and that's kind of it.
I guess, should we do the three, like is this like a platformer, an RPG, or a action game type thing?
Sure, but
okay, let's do those three.
Okay.
Sorry, what do you want?
I wouldn't do a platformer and action game at the same time because those have too much overlap.
Okay, what would you guys say?
I don't know.
RPG, action game, or sports game?
Sure, let's do those three.
RPG, action game, or sports game? Yes.
I bet it's an action game. I bet it's a third-person action game.
Should we go for that? How many do we have left? Six?
Five questions and a yes.
Five questions and a yes. Okay. Okay, is this an action game?
No. That's 15.
Shoot. Do we want to try to go for sports?
A Western RPG is super interesting.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Okay, is this an RPG?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a Western RPG, third person.
I wonder if it's one of those Eurojank RPGs like that were always coming out back then. There's like two worlds.
Well,
did BioWare stuff start coming out on multiple platforms by this point?
Yes. Yeah, like Mass Effect.
Yeah,
Mass Effect 2.
Mass Effect 2 onwards. Yeah.
And
that would be EA.
Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Mass Effect 2 wasn't before 2010, though.
Should we ask if this is fantasy or something like that?
Yeah.
Or do we think that's a waste of a question?
Yeah.
That's good.
Is this a fantasy game?
Yes.
Okay.
Fantasy RPG. Made in the West. I love it. That's
maybe
weird.
It's Kingdom of Amalur again.
Again.
Again. Okay. So, what were some of those that we were mulling over?
So what's Dragon Age available as? There's also Oblivion, right?
Except it's not first person.
Yeah. So that would explain.
Oh, that's good. We got that.
Yeah.
Can't be Fable because that's an exclusive.
What about like Baldur's Gate or PC RPGs?
Yeah, it's true. We are making an assumption that it was a console game, but it was multi-platform, and I don't know.
Yeah, it was not a platform exclusive. So
it's part of a series.
Mm-hmm.
Jade Empire was an exclusive.
I think it could be.
And I guess that was the first
Xbox. I think
it could
be Dragon Age.
Okay, the first, what was the first Dragon Age called? Was it just Dragon Age or was it Dragon Age Origins?
Maybe it was Origins. I just call it Dragon Age 1.
What about The Witcher?
Yeah, Witcher 1 and 2.
It could be.
1 was PC only, 2 came to consoles. Maybe 1 also came to consoles, but it was like mainly considered a PC game. 2 was definitely on Xbox and PC.
Two questions and a guess.
Should we ask if this game has an announced sequel?
Witcher didn't. The CD Projekt doesn't have E3 press conferences.
No, EA definitely does.
EA definitely does. Yeah, announced sequel is interesting because Dragon Age does have one, as does Mass Effect.
And so does The Witcher.
But it would eliminate that whole class of games if the answer was no, which would be interesting.
Okay,
sure.
Then let's try it.
Yeah.
And Diablo, right? And Baldur's Gate.
There's Baldur's Gate 3 in early access, but it's not out. Okay, I like that. Does this game have an announced sequel?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh boy, I bet it's. Oh, no, it super helps. That means.
No, but if the answer was no, then we would have a chance of getting it because it'd be like,
I think
we
have
a
great chance. It's probably Dragon Age. But could also.
I think it's probably Dragon Age Origins.
Yeah.
Because what was the second Dragon Age game? Was that.
Dragon Age 2. I'm not joking. Like, that was the one that started.
I think that might have come out in 2010 or later.
We have one question and a guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
We could ask if it's the first of its name.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of a... I don't know, man. I'm trying to think of a clever way to narrow it down.
We could ask if it has dragons in it.
Well, because, like, what if...
It's a fantasy game. It's gotta, regardless, you know?
I mean, Witcher doesn't.
There's not a single dragon in Witcher.
It's like drakes and stuff. But like, it's not like you're like... I mean, there's a woman that turns into a dragon, but I just don't know what games that
Wyverns. Okay, so I'm also like thinking about, like... I'm thinking about Diablo. Like, I'm thinking about whether it's a party-based RPG or not.
What about if it's a talkie-based RPG?
Yeah, like, you know, can you romance people in this RPG? I don't know if you romance anybody in the older Witcher games, like Witcher 2. But that's also not a party-based game.
I'm sure that's full of that crap.
I think I would ask if it's a party-based game, and if yes, then it's probably Dragon Age, and if no, then, you know, then we're in trouble. But then maybe something Diablo. Or we could ask if
when
it's
a... When you say party-based game, you mean, like, you have multiple characters in a party that you control?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Well, it means that there's, like, a big party happening, and you have to, like, participate in all of the party festivities, like Punch...
Yeah,
you have to
make the cake. That's where the gnawing comes in.
Yeah, what's up with the gnawing in this? How do you break stuff in an RPG? Do you just choose break from the item menu?
Should we ask that?
I mean, really, any game where you can eat anything, it has gnawing.
But
that's an assumption because you could be swallowing it whole. So
should we ask the party question?
Or we could just think, maybe I'm over. We
do you
could just
think
ask.
Simon Belmont gnaws those big turkeys?
100%.
Or do you think he just downs them?
There's no way to eat a turkey without gnawing, you know.
Yeah. We could just ask if it's an EA game, by the way. If instead of having convoluted ways,
selling for time.
Sure. Let's just do that. We've been on this last question for a long time. Is this an EA game?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. should we guess Dragon Age Origins?
I guess it is what it is. We don't have a choice. But I don't know for sure if it's one or two. It's probably, I mean, what else can we do?
I feel like he often picks the first game in a series. I mean, I guess the readers decide what it is, but yeah.
Is this DAO?
It is DAO, Dragon Age Origins.
Woo!
2009.
Is that frustrating, having us like know what the game is and going towards it, but you listen to us talk about it for like 15 minutes?
No, not frustrating at all. That's the game.
I didn't remember that game being on the PS3.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't either.
Yeah, 360 PS3 and PC. BioWare, 2009.
Look how old school BioWare this looks.
Yeah, God. Mm. This looks way worse than I remember.
Well, and this was super, super new school when it came out, too. Like, it was completely, like, you know, coming off of, like, games like Baldur's Gate. It was revolutionary that it looked like this and played like this.
Can you explain the gnawing, scaring, or breaking?
Was it breaking that you were going
to... I was assuming you're breaking bones in combat during this. And then
breaking hearts.
Well, there's the
breaking
romance.
Hearts, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, well,
that guy just
breaking spirit.
Yeah, knocked spirit. The heck
breaking
out of that
faces.
Person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I've never played
this
game.
Look how funny the face textures
either.
Are.
Yeah. I've only done Inquisition for Dragon Age.
Yeah, I just played a little bit of that. I've never finished any of the Dragon Age games.
Mm. No, it's interesting. Nobody's ever finished Dragon Age 3. Yeah. Nobody's ever in the history of the world. And I'm waiting for the first person to do that. It's an interesting world challenge.
I think we gave Inquisition Game of the Year the year ago.
We did.
Right? The Dragon Age Origins 2014. Has always frustrated me as a title because it sounds like a prequel game.
It does, yeah.
But it's not. It's just the first game.
Yeah.
Which is almost presumptuous, thinking that, like, oh, this is definitely going to be a series.
But well, back then, BioWare could afford to be presumptuous.
Yeah, yeah.
Pre-Anthem BioWare.
And they would not do wrong for quite some time.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, it would only be a few years, whenever.
Maybe a decade.
Anthem was like 2015, 2016?
I thought people hated Jade Empire. They'd already done wrong.
I love Jade Empire.
No, people love Jade Empire. Yeah.
I've been waiting for that to be a game on 20 Questions at some point. Have you ever done Jade Empire on 20 Questions?
I want to say yes.
Okay.
Damon knows off the top of his head. You can call that.
Yeah. Nicely job. Thank you for the suggestion. What was your name again? I'm going to pull it. open my laptop one more time.
Do it with a British accent.
Cockney, please. Chris, yeah, Chris. I don't know how you even say Chris with a British accent. I think it would sound the same in, with an American accent.
Boy,
or British.
Chris.
What? That's not different. That just sounds no, like Chris.
That was.
I think you did a good
that
job.
Was a Russian accent. Okay.
Viewers, listeners, if you have your own suggestions for Video Game 20 questions, email them to me at the address gamescoop@ign.com. I forgot it for just a brief second there. And that's all the scoops that we have for you this week. Thank you to Colin. Thank you, Justin Spirit. Thank you to Sam. Thank you everyone to everyone working behind the scenes here in our LA studio to make this episode possible. Game Scoop will return next week. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out.
That's a lot of fun.
Do you want to hear a fucking crime, Damon?
Yes.
Seth calls Nintendo Voice Chat the only Nintendo podcast now.
Well,
which is not true because this is the only video game podcast.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's a Nintendo. It's a Nintendo podcast, but it's only talking about pre-video game Nintendo. So like sex hotels and playing
the bowling alleys,
taxis.
Yeah.
Cool. Yep. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you,
good clutch at the end there, man. That was amazing.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.